listening to Embrace Your Beautiful Destiny, a show where we will talk about finding beauty in the most unconventional places in our lives. So every week, we'll talk about dealing with disappointment or overcoming frustration and dealing with stuff that just gets under your skin and derails you. We'll also have amazing guests on here that'll be sharing their stories. So I'm your host, Shanna Strange. Let's dive in. This is episode number one. Shocking to me, honestly. I never thought I would do something like this. This is a new venture for me, but I'm super excited because I know that God has something fantastic for all of us, that life is a journey, and when we track with God and we surrender, we get to find beauty in the most unconventional places, the places that we really never thought it would be beautiful. God can make something beautiful out of any place that you find yourself, and that's really what this show is about. We're going to be talking to people, and I'm going to be teaching you, and I'm going to be just sharing from my own life, and we're going to have all kinds of cool guests on here who are going to tell you about how they've found beauty in the most horrible places of their lives. The places, I mean, you don't want to go back to these places for sure, but you find that you discover things about God that you never knew before. And because of those discoveries, you find that there is beauty tucked away in the strangest of places. And so I thought for this first episode, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of background of how this came about and a little bit of information about me so you'll know where I'm coming from, that I'm not just a person who had a great idea, but I'm actually a person who went through a lot to get to where I am. And I have a great understanding of what it feels like to feel a little bit frustrated, confused, disappointed would be the biggest word I can think of right now for some of the things that I went through and the misunderstandings that I had with the Lord. So let me just kind of back up. You know, I was raised in a home where music was, music and church were kind of the center of everything that we did. I mean, we served God with our musical abilities, and my dad was always a musician, played several instruments, and he and my mom were always both in gospel bands. And so not only were we at church on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, because that's back in the day when we had Sunday night services, but we were also kind of drug around to every Friday and Saturday night singing or revival that you could think of, you know. So I remember, not to mention being at church on Wednesday nights and sometimes Tuesday night for prayer meeting. But that was fun because that gave me such a foundation, you know, for building that discipline in my life of being at church, even when I didn't want to be at church. I remember, you know, singing when I was very young. I remember my parents have recordings of me singing when I was like 2 or 3. And then by the time I was 4 or 5, I was singing at church on stage. And so I grew up kind of in the spotlight and really just not, for me, it was second nature. I wasn't really afraid of the spotlight. I don't know, for whatever reason, when I would sing, I could go into this place where I just wasn't aware of anyone else that was there. And I could just sing, and it was between me and God. And so I grew up feeling that way about music and about singing. I learned how to play different instruments, you know, in my teenage years, in my early 20s, and started to write songs when I was about 19. I remember the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and would give me melodies. And I would sit at the piano and I would try to figure out what I was, you know, what I was playing, what I was hearing, and probably not doing a very great job, but that was in the beginning. And I started to get, prophetic words released over my life that had to do with music. That I was going to do some things with music, that it was going to, the songwriting gift within me was so powerful that it was going to open doors, and I was going to go in and out of America with this gift into other nations, sharing the songs God had given me. And so I took that and I just ran with it. And I thought, I'm a go-getter and I'm very goal-oriented. This is another episode. We can talk about the Enneagram a little bit, but I'm very goal-driven at times. And so I thought, God's given me a word. So I'm going to take this word and I'm going to run and I'm going to make it happen. And as many of you probably know, that's not the way the promises of God are fulfilled in our life. So much of the time it actually takes very little effort on our part. If you look at some of the patriarchs, if you look at Abraham especially and Sarah, you'll see that, they didn't really have to do a lot to bring the promise of God to pass. I mean, they, they tried to do some things and messed it all up, but really, honestly, it was the faith that God was after. And so what I didn't realize, and what a lot of people don't realize, is it's the faith that God is after in your life. It's not your ability to make things come to pass. It's your ability to wait patiently on God and let him fulfill the promise. Simultaneously, he's working out character flaws in you, and you're getting closer to him, and you are changing. You're dying to yourself and becoming alive to him and what he wants. And so, anyway, I had this idea in my head of what this dream fulfilled would look like. And for some reason, I got my wires crossed, and I thought, okay, so if I'm going to be speaking in other nations, that means I have to have a big platform. That means I'm probably going to need to be famous. I'm probably going to need to be signed with a label. And I'm going to need, just this huge platform, obviously, because how else would I go in and out of America? this is how a 20-year-old thinks, by the way. And so I set out for many years moving towards that type of life, that type of goal, and thinking that that's what God wanted, thinking I was in his will. And I'm not saying I wasn't, because I do believe that the seasons that I walked through during that time of my life were super important, and I got to do some things that were amazing. I had several bands, several different musicians that God would bring me, and we had so much fun, man. We just had so much fun playing at different outdoor events, playing in churches, leading worship at women's conferences. I remember leading worship several times for a youth camp that, I mean, it was amazing, and I ended up writing songs while I was there. God would just drop them in my spirit. But you know what where I messed up was during those seasons, I didn't enjoy them because I was so busy focusing on getting to the destination. The destination is, the big platform and the record, being signed with the record label and being famous. Because to be honest with you, the reason I wanted to be famous was so that I could fulfill the purpose that God had for me. I thought that that's what it was going to take. So I needed to make everybody like me. I needed to win all the talent competitions. So I would set out going to these talent competitions and just trying to get noticed by record label executives and songwriting competitions. And the thing is I did well in a lot of those competitions. I would place pretty high. I would, sometimes make the top 10 in songwriting, and this would be like a national level competition. And one time I got as high as third in a songwriting competition, barely missed the cutoff. The top two people got record deals, but the third person didn't. And so those kind of things would happen over and over in my life. And this was over a span of about 10 to 12 years. And I finally, would go through the cycle where I would try really hard, and I would have a band, and we would do all these cool gigs and everything, and it looked like things were moving in a certain direction, and then would fall apart. And so I would crash and burn. And I would end up back at this place where, I was severely depressed. But eventually I would find, or God would find me, actually would be a better way to say it. And I would get reconnected the way I needed to in my spirit, and he would lift me up. And then I would say, I'm never doing this again, Lord. I'm never going towards music again. At this point in our life, my husband had felt led to start a church, which was not on my radar, but God put it in his heart. And so we were, basically pastoring a church, a small church, and I was leading worship, and that was fine. I had walked away from my dream again, because it was just too painful, and doors kept closing, and all of these things. And so I'm happy. I'm at a place where I think I'm pacified, and I'm surrendered would be a good word for it. And I was going to college for biblical studies, and I loved that, so loved it, and leading worship and just helping my husband with the church. And the Lord started to bring musicians into my life again, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, and I started to feel the pull, and I started to get prophetic words again. And I'm almost to this point, I'm like shutting these people out. I don't want to hear your word. Like, I'm not doing this again, Lord. I've been down this road twice already, given up everything. We sold all of our property. We sold our house to go on the road full time, bought a tour bus. All that fell apart. And I'm like, you actually want me to do this again? Now we have a church and you're asking me to do this again. Sure enough, he was. And it was interesting because the last round of this was the time that I actually started to get a lot of momentum, and things started to happen, things that I literally had given up on. I mean, by the time it was all said and done, I had a record deal, and I had signed with a, kind of a smaller label out of Nashville. They still had some decent, pretty big artists that had decent, horrible word probably. They had some pretty well-known artists on this roster. And of course, I said yes, and God began to bring musicians into my life again, and these were just phenomenal musicians, and they were like my family, and we started to do events that were bigger. I mean, it was getting to the point where, there could have easily been 1,000 people at some of our events that we were playing at, and I started to open for big artists, and when I got signed with the label, I released music. High quality music to radio stations, not just in the US, but the syndication was all over the world. So it was international. And so, part of that prophecy came true. I mean, these songs God was giving me were going into other nations. But it wasn't enough for me. It's like no matter how much I had, it was never enough. There was this hole within me that needed to be filled. I need to do what God, this is gonna establish my worth as a Christian almost. And it was like this black hole that I had in my soul that needed constant affirmation because I didn't really know who I was in Christ. And so that's not a good place to be. You can have the whole world and lose your soul. And I don't think I had lost my soul, but I don't think I really knew who I was. And that's not okay with God. Who you are is so much more important to him than what you can do. And I had not yet had this revelation in my life. And so that season was fun for sure. And then after about a year maybe of us playing these cool gigs and all these open doors, it just started to kind of crumble and started to vanish, and people started to quit in the band, and my label, I think maybe they didn't think that I was getting the success that they wanted, and it wasn't a monetary profit for them, and so they basically said, hey, we're just gonna kind of leave you as an honorary member, but you're basically not on the roster anymore for this label. And that was so devastating because, for a person like me who is so caught up in what other people think, this is a struggle that I constantly have. I just kind of, it was like a low blow to the gut, and I couldn't catch my breath. It just knocked me down. And I went into such a deep depression for several years that I honestly, All that I remember about those years were how dark and dismal and how hopeless I felt. I just became numb and I stopped dreaming, which is not who I am. I'm a dreamer by nature, but when you get hit that hard, you know, you just kind of fall apart. And so I ended up having to work a job that I hated. It was literally the worst job I've ever had in my life. And I had to go back to the workforce as well as my husband. We had owned a business and we had a church, but the Lord had us close our church, which was kind of a shock to us. And also, this is when the oil and gas economy tanked, specifically in Texas, East Texas, where I live. And we had to close it down and we had to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? I mean, we even had to leave the town that we were in because there was no work there. And we were driving long distances to another town where my husband had gotten on staff to pastor. And so we decided, and our daughter went to school kind of in that area. So we decided, okay, let's move to this town. It looks like all areas are pointing this direction. So we did. We moved to that town and I found a job. I had to. I mean, it was literally like like a child had died in my life. I don't know how else to explain this. When you carry the dream of God and you birth it like a baby and then it just dies. It feels like part of you is gone and you'll never get it back. And I didn't even know who I was. And I remember just working at this horrible bank job, being super depressed every day, feeling like my life was over. I just was never going to get out of it. And, you know, somewhere in that, I call those moments providential prisons, those times where you're stuck in a place where you don't want to be. But you know God has you there. It's a providential prison. And it was during that season lasted a good 5 or 6 years for me, that I really began to, I think, dig really deep. And it didn't happen fast, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I kind of sat in that despondency for quite some time before I decided, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. But I finally stopped being angry with God, because I was angry with God. And even though it wasn't his fault, it was my fault. I just was too immature to understand the dream that he put in my heart. But finally, after a period of time and my anger subsided and all that, I just let him kind of work on me and to get rid of a lot of the stuff in me that I knew was super unhealthy. And he did, you know, I mean, it was a process that I went through for several years. And I mean, I'm still in the process, right? We're always in the process. But it ended up that I finally, you know, after about a year and a half, I got out of the horrible job and I found another job. It was fantastic. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't want to be working. I wanted to be doing what I felt called to do. But for whatever reason in this season of my life, I knew that I had to do it. And so I found a way better job. And I just, you know, I started to blog and I started to find different avenues to express the things that God was giving to me. And I, to be honest with you, you know, I knew I could write. I had discovered that gift at a younger age. Now, I knew I could write songs, obviously, but I didn't realize that I actually had a true gift of writing. And so it started with me blogging, and I just kind of, you know, God would show me things and they were profound to me, and I would just, you know, write a blog about it. And so I would throw it up on my website. At this point, I had a website that I had started again, and but I wasn't focusing on music anymore. I wasn't even talking about music, honestly. People who knew me knew that I was a musician and that I had, you know, in the past released music and all that, but it wasn't my focus. My focus was really just my relationship with God. And I think during that season, God began to really show me who I was, and I began to understand his great, intense love for me that I don't think I'd ever really understood how much he loved me. And I still don't understand. None of us will ever understand how much God loves us. But I began to see him as my father, which I don't think I had ever really done that. I had spent my whole life trying to prove to God that I was worth being loved, and that, I was trying to do it with works, but I didn't even know I was doing that. And so in this season of my life, there was nothing I could do. I was confined to a prison sentence, basically, spiritually speaking, you know. And all I could do was just to work on my relationship with him. I had nothing else to give him. And I found that he actually really loved that. And I became more settled and surrendered in that season of my life and started writing the blogs, not because I was trying to, you know, get a bunch of followers, but just because I just, like, you know, these are amazing truths. I just want to put them out there in case anybody else, you know, needs encouragement, you know, just because I know what it feels like to be stuck and stressed and all that stuff. And so I did, I started putting them out there, and I was shocked because people actually were reading them, and I was getting feedback saying, you know, wow, you're like a phenomenal writer, and I could read your stuff all the time, and please keep writing, and things like that. And so that rocked on for a little while, and then I decided I need to write a book. And this word kept coming to me, this word providence. And it was strange because I had written a song in probably 2010, dating myself a little bit here, maybe even before that, probably like 2009. I had written a song called Providence, and I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm a word person for sure. But providence is just not a word at that point in my life that I would use very often. I didn't really say that very often. And I was kind of a little, I knew what it meant, but I didn't know exactly what it meant, if that makes sense. So it actually means, providence means God conceived as the power guiding and sustaining human destiny. And so I wrote that song, and it was very powerful. I remember when I wrote it, being, you know, in this season of confusion, but surrendered, not really sure what you're doing, God, but I love you. And I sat down to write, and that song just poured out of me in, like, I want to say like 5 or 10 minutes. And I wept because I understood, because the chorus says, it's providence, not coincidence, that's brought me to this place. It's your unseen hand pressing down on me, the full measure of your glory. You're making me holy. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's what life is about. That's what destiny is about. That's what dreams are about. God making us holy. Even though we are holy because of the blood of Christ, there's a sanctification process that we are all going through to make us holy, to make us more like God. And that was such a revelation for me, and it kind of changed the way that I looked at things. And so I had, you know, written that song. It had been a while, and somebody in my life actually said, I was praying for you this morning, and they didn't know I had a song called Providence, okay? And texted me a picture of the definition of providence and said, God just told me to remind you of this word right here. It's a really big word for you, and I feel like you need to see it again. And so I was like, oh, wow, God, you're reminding me that every season of my life, every step, even things that feel like the wrong direction, even things that are super disappointing, they're all part of God's plan. And so I started to feel like I needed to write a book, and I needed to call it Providence. And so that's what I did. I worked on this for 3 years, this book, and wanted to finish it within the first year, couldn't for whatever reason. It wasn't time. Got tired in the middle, quit for maybe 6 months, picked it back up, changed editors, all kinds of stuff. And finally realized, okay, it's time to do this. I'm going to finish this. So I finished it a few months ago and released it. And what I realized was that the truths in this book are so profound that I think that a whole radio show or podcast could be made, and I could expound on this forever, you know, with different guests and different topics within it. So that's what I'm doing. I started this show, and we're just calling it Embrace Your Beautiful Destiny. But I just believe that there's beauty on the other side of disappointment. There really is. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm at a place where, you know, not long, I would say about 3 years ago, probably, God started to speak to me and he started to say, it's time to take your promised land. That's probably 4 years, actually. Take your promised land. And I'm like, okay, can you explain to me what that is? Because I have missed it so many times. I have, you know, gone after the wrong thing, the thing that wasn't really the dream that you had for me. God, I have misconstrued it. I have totally deceived myself. I have made it to be something else and then been super disappointed when it didn't work out that way. And I cannot take another death blow like that, you know? So I started to see that it was, I started to see it from his perspective, and I believe he began to show me what it really was or what it really is. And it's kind of this conglomeration of singing. Yes, I still sing, and I still get to do beautiful, amazing things. I get to lead worship. I still write songs. I perform those songs. I use them to minister to people. I record those songs top notch. And, you know, I'll be submitting those to radio stations, places like that. I still do that. So the music is still there. I also speak. I started to realize, in the seasons that I walked through that I was a good speaker. I mean, I had a gift to teach, and to be honest with you, it wasn't really the gift that I wanted. I liked music. Music was fun. Music was safe. It's what I grew up doing. But I began to realize, okay, I have a supernatural ability to teach and a prophetic gift as well. So I realized, okay, these are powerful, and there comes a point in your life where you just got to surrender to God in that season and say, God, how do you want to use me in this season? You know, and to be willing to lay down your life either way and not always get to do the thing that you want to do the most, but to do the thing that God wants you to do. And that's where I started to really flourish. And then, you know, of course, realizing that I was also a writer kind of revolutionized my life. And so I do that. So I do those three things: speaking, writing, and singing. And now I have a radio show. So, you know, God starts small. He really does. He does things little by little. And He doesn't just say, okay, here is the dream, go do all of it. God will start with, here's a piece of the dream. Here's the piece of your destiny. And I want you to start with that. And then we start putting it together bit by bit. Year after year, God will start to add things or subtract things sometimes that are distraction for you. And to build that beautiful, beautiful life that he has for you. Ephesians 2:10. I love this. This is what my whole ministry is based on. This is what my book is based on. It's what I believe. It says that we are God's masterpiece. We were created to do the things that he planned for us long ago, right? So this word masterpiece is the Greek word poema. And poema is beautiful because it's so much bigger than just this idea of workmanship. Sometimes you'll see that word, or masterpiece. I want you to think about this for a second, that a masterpiece, when you go to the Rocky Mountains or any mountain range, but the Rockies are especially beautiful to me, and you see them for the first time, it's breathtaking, and you are overwhelmed with how beautiful it is. That's poema. That's what God wants to do in your life, in my life, and even the disappointments and all of the darkness and all the things that you walk through, they all collide into this thing that God is creating, this masterpiece, this poema that he wants to create with your life. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, is how does God use all the junk and the beautiful things to create a masterpiece out of your life? And I'm super excited to share that with you. And What I want you to do as we're leaving today is to just check out my website. It's www.shannonstrange.net. You can see all kinds of blogs, music, books, all that great stuff. And then I'll also be telling you here in just a couple of seconds how you can rate this podcast or radio show, and that helps just get the ratings up. And so thanks for listening. I'll see you next week on Embrace Your Beautiful Destiny. Oh,